of Shimur, we are protected. Now, I want to show you many, many contradictions to this principle. I think we've all been brought up, the night of Pesach, there's a special siyata d'shmaya, and we can let our guard down. A little bit. Okay, everyone in yeshiva probably learned that the night of Pesach, there's a minute you don't lock the door. You leave the door open. When you go to sleep, you leave all the locks open. Hashem's guarding, you don't have to worry. And then they say, well, except in Flatbush also, then they say, but you know, today, we don't play games. Today, whatever the reasons are, even though it's Lil Shimurim, we lock the door. Don't get carried away. But ideally, it's a special night where Hashem protects us. On this night, so many miracles happen to the Jewish people. It's the piyut, one of the piyutim that we say at the end of the Haggadah mentions all the miracles, the handwriting on the wall in the palace of Daryavish, Hamadi, the Malchus of Bavel Horeshah came to an end. Hashem has it out for Nebuchadnezzar. Belshazzar was killed that night. Hashem has a special hatred for Nebuchadnezzar, because Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. And the 70 years of his Malchus, the 70 years of Golus, came to an end on the night of Pesach. Golus Bavel came to an end the night of Pesach when Belshazzar was executed by Daryavish HaMadi. By Daryavish HaMadi, he came into the palace that night. That was the night when they had a big party. Daryavish HaMadi, Belshazzar, he took out the caliph of the Beis HaMikdash, and he got dressed in the Bigdei Kohuna, as if to say, you see, there was a prophecy by Yirmiyahu that after 70 years, the Jewish people will be redeemed. And look, it's now been 70 years, nothing has happened. It goes to show that it was a lie, and therefore we have prevailed, and let us celebrate. On that night, suddenly there was a miraculous message written on the wall that says that your malchus has come to an end. They did not know what this meant, what the words were. It was written in Ksav Ashuris. They called Doniel Ish Chamudos to translate the words, and he told them it means that your days, you're done, you're finished. The time has come, you will be, and immediately thereafter a miracle happened. The Modin, they entered into the city, and there's a very fascinating historical account exactly how they were able to get into the city. They have this, it's just fascinating, in this journal called Kankan, which appears to have disappeared off the face of the earth. I don't know what happened to them. I don't think they publish anymore. I don't see them publishing anymore. I actually went to the website, and there's an awesome analysis from a historical perspective exactly what happened on that night. And it's amazing how there's details, and so far, so many years ago, this took place almost 2,500 years ago. And the fact that there are records and there's information to figure out exactly what happened that night is just mind-boggling. And he was able, this professor, to put everything all together and to show you exactly what happened. And it's an incredible, incredible Purim story almost. It's an incredible analysis of exactly what happened. But in any event, the Malchus of Nebuchadnezzar came to an end on that night. Look at that. It's a little shimurim. What else happened on that night? The story of Purim. The story of Purim happened. Haman began to fall. Haman's defeat. His defeat took place the night of Pesach. Well, it was the night. It was Balayla Hachu Nodada Shnas HaMelech. When was that? The Lil Tesvav. Lil Tesvav was Balayla Hachu Nodada Shnas HaMelech. Another example, okay, and Chizkiyo HaMelech. Chizkiyo Yerushalayim was sieged, under siege, they were besieged.
And they destroyed Sodom.
But what happened with Chizkiyo? Chizkiyo was the only holdout in the whole Klal Yisrael was Yerushalayim. And already Sancheiriv conquered the whole Eretz Yisrael. And the only last stronghold was Yerushalayim. And miraculously, on Chatzos Laila, the entire army of Sancheiriv died, except for a handful number of people. So there are numerous miracles which have taken place on the night of Pesach. And it's called the Leil Shimurim Hu LaHashem. Pasuk says that it is a night of watching. Leil Shimurim Hu LaHashem. L'chotziyami Eretz Mitzrayim Hu HaLayla HaZel LaHashem. Shimurim L'chol B'nei Yisrael L'doi Roi Sam. For all generations. A very special night. And therefore, they'll tell you in Yeshiva Gitana, in third grade or in second grade, they'll tell you, on the night of Pesach, you don't lock the doors. You don't lock the doors. I bet you in Lakewood they don't lock the doors, because anyway they don't lock the doors, you have to place in Lakewood.
Yeah, right.
So, what?
Nothing to take.
Nothing to take. It's yeah. Very good. Yitaka saying good. You're saying very good. Depends where. There are extremes. Unfortunately, the rich get richer and the poor get poorer.
Yeah. Out of town, you know, they don't lock doors. I was in South Bend, Indiana, installing as a computer consultant a number of years ago, and they rented an entire house for us, and we were in the house. And the mailman walks into the house and drops the mail on the table. So our door was locked. So he says, oh, you must be from New York.
Look, Amazon Prime, they have a service. You buy their
lock. On the kitchen on the table.
It's interesting. Amazon Prime has a service where you install their lock. They sell special locks, which they can open. They can open their lock. And basically, when you do an Amazon Prime delivery, you're basically permitting them. They're all different sets of rules, how you want to set it up. You don't have to be home. And the Amazon Prime delivery guy goes into your house and puts the packages down if you want. Some people want that. Some don't. It's very interesting. In any event, it's called the Leil Shim. This is how we've all been brought up. But I want to present to you a lot of questions to challenge this premise. Number one, why do we have charoses? Why do we have charoses? So the Gemara says, because of osa, because of, there's another word, the Gemara, there's another word for it, but the Gemara says there's poison. There is poison in the lettuce. And if you eat raw lettuce, a person can get sick. I don't know exactly to what degree the poison, it's dangerous. So we have to neutralize the poison in the lettuce by dipping it into charoses. That's one of the primary reasons of why we have charoses. For some reason, a fruit extract is an antidote to a poison of a vegetable. Maybe there's something scientific to that. Because fruits and vegetables, they have a relationship. A fruit and a vegetable is like a man and a wife. There's some type of relationship between a fruit and a vegetable. A vegetable is poison. And but when she gets married, she becomes sweet as honey. The man is the pri ha'etz, and the woman, okay, I don't want to get into trouble over here, but there's a relationship between the vegetable and the fruit. So we have, wait a minute, question, is this a real poison, or is this a chashash? What are the statistics? Tell me the statistics. How many people eat raw lettuce get sick because of the poison? Give me the numbers. It doesn't appear to be very high. It appears to be maybe I'm wrong, but it appears to be a chashash. Do the statistics. Maybe it's 1 in 200. Maybe it's 1 in 300. Maybe it's 1 in 50. Maybe it's 1 in 10. I don't know. I have no idea what the numbers are. It doesn't appear to be every person who eats raw lettuce gets sick. I'm not aware. Maybe Tam Chazal was like that. It seems, and today it's certainly not like that. Today, you don't see people going and buying lettuce in the store, buying a vegetable.
You're buying a recall. There's a recall on
lettuce. Okay, a recall, okay. There's always a recall. There's a recall on cars, a recall on everything. There's a recall on people also. There's a recall on everything in this world. But Bederech Klal, you don't see people going into a store to buy a salad for lunch and just a pure vegetable salad, and the next day they're in the hospital. Or the next day they call in, I can't go to work, I'm sick. You don't see that. So what are you going to say? Today it's Nishtana Ateva? Maybe. Today we have there are different conditions? Maybe. Tam Chazal, it was worse? I have no idea.
Turn back one day. They don't tell you to do it the rest of the year. They're only telling you to...
So why that day? So what, only on Pesach is it poison?
Oh, yeah, because it's not really, it's something else.
So, okay, I really honestly do not know, and I'm just throwing out a question. What are you worried about?
My father
What are you worried about here, Rabbi Yossi? What are you worried about? It's Lel Shimurim. What are you worried about? It's Lel Shimurim. If you're not afraid someone's going to rob your house, what are you afraid of? You afraid of the lettuce? Wash the lettuce in water, get rid of the bugs, and eat it.
Excuse me, we're talking about Mora and Harosis.
Yes.
But so Mora, there are many different varieties of Mora. There's like,
all varieties. Radish. All varieties have
maybe,
to be dipped.
Maybe not all, maybe some of the varieties.
This,
maybe lettuce, I don't know. If
every, it's Mora has to be dipped.
Lettuce is not the first choice in the list.
Chosa.
You know,
I think it is. I think it is the first.
Yeah,
whatever it is.
Well,
I'm not throwing out the question as an absolute question. I just want to make a point.
Yeah.
It's Lel Shimurim.
No, but Lel Shimurim, if the nature of something is to do damage, that doesn't, I don't know if Lel Shimurim is to give you a head to, that.
And keeping the door open is not a sakonis nefashos. There are ganovim out there, all over the place. We know that. And that we can do. That we're allowed, that we're not worried about keeping the door open.
Well, maybe Shimurim, it's a particular type of Shimurim.
Okay, so let's discuss this.
Yeah.
Next thing. You don't close the door. I'm talking about I'm not telling you not to close the door. Chas v'shalom. I'm just saying
can you jump off the
building? Okay. Let's
maybe
discuss.
Maybe you can jump off the building.
Let's
walk into a highway. I mean, obviously not. Even though it's Lel Shimurim.
Okay, let's discuss this. So again, on the one hand, it's Lel Shimurim. We know as a fact that miracles have happened to our forefathers throughout the ages on this night. It's a very special night. We keep the door open. Kriya Shema Al Hamita. That is Mamash Halacha. Kriya Shema Al Hamita. You're not supposed to say anything other than Birchas Hamapil and the first paragraph of Shema. You don't say all the other psukim, all the other things that Hashem should save you. Mimidi Michol Mismuli Gavil Milfay Oriel Meachorai Rufol Vel Roish Shchina Sel. Yeah, you don't need the Malachim. Malachim, have a nice day. Go on vacation. Here's some money. Go take a vacation in the Caribbean on the night of Pesach. You don't need. Shima, you don't say all of the psukim in the mizmor when you say Kriya Shema Al Hamidas La Halacha. It's Lel Shimurim. You don't lock the door. Yet, you're worried about the Morah. You're worried. Chazal instituted in the Nusach of the Haggadah, there must be Charoises. Don't even think about it. Why? The primary reason why you have Charoises, it's not Zechelatit. The primary reason is because there's poison in your Morah. Really? There's poison in the Morah? I wasn't aware. And even if there is poison, it doesn't appear that it's real, that it's 100%. There's statistics out there. Go speak to the CDC. They'll give you all the statistics of the dangers. So, you know what? I'll take my risk. I'll take a risk. I have enough things to worry about. Lo Pesach, all the one, the Dal Kaisas and the Matzah, and the Karpas, Mara Charoises also. It's Lel Shimurim. Lel Shimurim. Hashem is going to protect me. He's going to protect me. I don't have to worry about it. Next question. We discuss this. How do we begin the Haggadah? Which language? We spent the whole day on this. We begin Aramaic. How do you end?
We're inviting people in. We have to speak their language.
Speak the language. So no, they don't know Hebrew. They don't know a few words of Hebrew.
That's correct.
Obviously, there's more to it, and by the door's already locked, by the way, okay, even though it's Lel Shimurim, the door's already closed. And now we're inviting Holach Manu Diachol Avoson of the Ara de Mitzrayim in Aramaic. How do you finish the Haggadah? Chagadya in Aramaic. So why? So we had a discussion. One of the things that will come up in the first, you go Likut, any sefer which collects all the different reasons, the first thing they're going to say is because the malachim, they're so jealous of us. You can't even imagine the kin of jealousy. They look at us. More enosh, ki siskerenu, these earthlings, these dvarim gashmiim, these parasites. To them, you give a night like this with the malach, with such sanctity? Sanctity? To them, Mo'enosh, this, the jealousy is burning. We're burning. It's burning. So therefore, we need to protect ourselves. So therefore, when we begin, the envelope, the packaging of the entire Seder is packaged in Aramaic, because Aramaic is basically a language that the Malachi Hashari still have no clue. It's Chinese to them. And basically, it's a shelter. It's a packaging. The whole Seder is packaged in a language which protects us from the mazikim who are out to get us when they're raging with jealousy when they see what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done for us. And in their perspective, we don't deserve. So therefore, we need to begin the Seder, end the Seder with Aramaic as a way of packaging this from the mazikim who are Danus. It will say this answer in any good Haggadah. It will give this to you as the top three, guaranteed, as why the Seder Haggadah begins and ends with Aramaic. Excuse me, it's Lel Shimurim tonight. It says here, Lel Shimuhu Lashem, L'doyroi Seichem. We don't say Kriyash Velamita. You don't lock the doors. Hashem is watching us. So we're afraid of this mazikin. This is child's play. Let them be jealous. Good for you, be jealous. You're not going to attack us, because tonight Hashem's...
Malachim are jealous? They have emotions like that?
Whatever it means. No one came back to tell us the details. Whatever it means, it means. That's what it says. It says it's a sakana. The sanctity of the Seder is so great, it's a sakana. When the Malachim see what we have, they're jealous. They're jealous, they attack. Whatever that means. I don't know what it means, but that's what it says. And therefore, in order to protect... in order to protect ourselves, we need to... We protect by speaking in Aramaic. Aramaic is the language which the Malachi HaShavis do not understand. When they see us assembling for a meal, what are these guys doing here? And we start talking in Greek, in Chinese.
They get even more excited.
No, they don't. They say, listen, turn the channel. You go when you have a television, and you go and you turn on the television and they're talking in Russian. What do? Turn the channel, do something else. They look, what are we doing tonight? We're talking in Greek. They turn the channel, they're gone. We don't have to worry about them anymore. What are you worried about? It's Lel Shimurim. Next question.
When Shabbos comes out on Pesach, we don't say Shalom Aleichem?
When Shabbos comes out on Pesach, is a machlokes.
This
year, so we generally do not. Right? We do not.
Right.
I think some do. There's a machlokes. Some do. Some. Okay, I don't know. Let's put that aside. I don't know. Yes, good. I do not know. Let me give you another example. Another example. There's a whole shaila. The other way around. What happens? This we don't really not familiar with this today. But it used to be such a thing that if a person dies, all of the water has to be spilled out. So what happens if a person dies Lil Pesach? Do you have to spill out all the water? Do you have to spill out all the water? So the truth is, Machlek Sapoiskim. Some say, this is such a minute. Someone dies in the room, there's anything exposed, you spill out the water. Why? Kabbalah reasons. Sakana. If someone dies Lil Pesach and there's water that is exposed, does it have to be spilled out? It's Machlek Sapoiskim. Some say yes, some say no. Why yes? Sakana. Some say no, it's Lil Shimurim. Lel Shimurim, this rule does not apply. You don't have to spill out the water. You can drink, you can have the water. But many places can say, no, look, spill out the water, even if you have nothing else to drink. Even if you're in a matzah where you really need it, doesn't matter. Lel Shimurim. So what do you see? You see sakana. There is, according to this many places, there is a sakana. You have to pour out the water. Why? Lel Shimurim. Another question. Are you allowed to leave over a peeled egg or a peeled onion? Okay, some people are into this type of stuff. I'm not familiar with this stuff. But are you allowed to leave on the table peeled onions, peeled eggs? So of course not, right? This is sakana, mazikin, lel pesach. Are you allowed to leave these things exposed?
Yes.
Some say you're not. Machloek sapoiskim also. Many say you're not. Sakana. What do you mean sakana? It's lel shimurim. It's lel shimurim. Shvei chamos alagoyim. Okay, why do you open up the door? Why do you open the door? There are only 100 reasons why you open up the door. Why you open the door? Eliyahu Navi, some say the most simple reason which the Pashtunim thrive, there's certain types of people, different types of Jewish, some love this Kabbalah stuff, some they thrive on poshit, basic, down-to-earth, practical reasons. Blood libels. We suffer ad hayom hazeh mamish, the goyim out of their mind. Right. They think that matzah needs blood, so we have to kill non-Jewish children to extract their blood and to add it to the matzah. And then they come to chapas. And how do they chapas? They would kill their own children and they would put their children on our front door. And then they would call the police. So Chazal instituted that when it comes in the middle of the Seder, before you get to the Afikoyim, patrols. You have to go. You have to go on a shmirah. Open up the door and inspect the premises to make sure there's no dead body lying around and no one is coming to plant false evidence that you killed someone. Chazal instituted, when it comes at the end of your meal, before you want to eat the matzah, basically smack in the middle of the Seder, Chazal instituted, because there's such incredible anti-Semitism, we're living in a very dark world, and there was a long, long history of pogroms, and which are all built on blood libels, that we kill non-Jewish children for their blood to enter the matzah. Chazal instituted that right in the middle of the Seder, you should go outside your house and make an inspection, basically in a security service.
I'm not going to find the body. What are you going to do?
Call the police. Call Shomrim. Call Shomrim. Call Chavedim and Shomrim. Together they'll figure out a solution. But basically, Shmira. What do you need this? Why would Chazal, according to this interpretation, instead of you should go outside and make an inspection, it's Lel Shimurim. Madoch, you're not going to close, you lock up your doors in the middle of the night. I should go make inspections in the middle of the Seder to make sure that no one's trying to harm us. So what's going on over here? And let's ask a bit even more fundamental question. It is a matter of fact that the Jewish people have suffered from blood libels for generations. Even today, it's still going on. Believe it or not, in some, even in America, they are crazy people that make these accusations about blah blah. What are you? How could HaKadosh Baruch Hu allow there to be blood libels to begin with when it says in the pasuk that it's Lel Shimurim Hu Zeh L'Doros Seichem? What is going on? Okay. Now I'll give you another example. Some hold that you're not supposed to sleep the whole night. This is really halacha, the Lel Pesach. There's no makar anywhere in Chazal or in Shulchan Aruch to stay up the whole night on Shavuos. But it's all over the place that the Lel Pesach, you're supposed to stay up the whole night. After you finished the Haggadah by Chatzos, you don't go to sleep. Why do you go to sleep? Why not? So you'll tell me, you're supposed to be Oisek in the learning of the halachas. No, that's not the only reason.
Shir.
So how long do you think they say Shir? 5-10 minutes? You're supposed to be, Rambam says, you're supposed to be Oisek the entire night learning in Yonei Mitzias Mitzrayim, learning in Yonei Karban Pesach, and then Mitzias Mitzrayim, the whole night, don't go to sleep. Really, you're not supposed to go to sleep. People don't do this today. People go right to sleep. But Me'ikar Adin, it's much, much more required. There's a much infinitely greater requirement to stay up the entire night of Pesach than there is to stay up the night of Shavuos. Staying up the night of Shavuos is a weak minuk. I call it weak because there's really whatever. But staying up the night of Pesach is explicit in Chazal. The Rambam says it straight out, and it goes precedes the Rambam. He's supposed to stay up the entire night of Pesach. Why? One of the reasons why is because security. It's a very dangerous night. It's a very dangerous, just like you worry about the Malachi Hasharis and you're talking to them Aramaic, there are goyim that are using this night, and this is history, blood libels, to make a lot of trouble for us, to attack us. Who knows what they'll do to us this night? Stay up the whole night and be on guard. You know, like Nittelnacht, why don't you learn Nittelnacht? One of the most basic reasons, it's Pikuach Nefesh. The goyim, when they're going to their church, on the way back, they get drunk, and when they come back, who knows what they'll do to us? So therefore, don't show yourself. Stay home, close the lights, hide. Pesach, they're not going to church. They're coming to us. They're looking to make trouble for us. The hatred is so great. When they know that we're celebrating Yitzias Mitzrayim, we're celebrating our
triumph
and our source of where we come from. They don't like us. They're making trouble. Stay up the whole night to protect yourself. Why do you need to protect yourself? It is Pikuach Nefesh. Okay, I'll give you, there are some other interesting examples. I'll give you another example. Matzah. How do you make matzah? You have to use what's called Mayim Shalom. If you ever go to a matzah baking factory, they don't just take water out of the tap and use it to knead the dough. The water is a very big deal. The water has to be prepared in advance and has to sit in a container overnight. Mayim shelanu. That's long, which means that it just sits in a bowl in the container overnight. Why? So the simple reason is because you don't want it to be too cold or too hot. When the water comes out of the tap, or if you go to a well and you draw water, it's either too cold or it's too hot. So in order that the water should be lukewarm, room temperature, you must let the water sit for 12 hours or overnight. Because if the water is too cold or it's too hot, it will accelerate the leavening of the dough and may become chametz even in less than 18 minutes. So in order to prevent an acceleration of chametz, the water has to be lanu. Now this is a very common question. Now they made matzah, when they made matzah in ancient times, and even not such ancient times, when they made matzah, so they make matzah from Hanukkah time, or even today. Today when they start making matzah, I don't know, they probably make matzah a whole year. Who knows they make matzah? And the water is in a vat. In these little shtetlach that they live, it's inevitable someone's going to die. If they're baking matzah, let's say from Purim time, so between Purim and Pesach, someone's going to die. And if someone dies, the water is exposed. So what do you do when water is exposed? You got to pour it out. You got to pour it out. You can't use that water for matzah. So the question was, this is always a common question. We have mayim that that is being prepared, mayim shelanu, and someone in the near vicinity died. Could we still use this water to make matzah?
Even if it's stored in a barrel or a tank?
So there are different examples. There are different situations. I don't know. You're saying good. It's covered in or not. So let's say this case where the water is exposed. You're not allowed to see the sakon of a snake. So it means there's a person watching it. Here's a good question, but let's just a general question. So it's a yeah, too bad for you. The water has to be discarded. What do you need to be discarded? When is this matzah going to be eaten? Lel Pesach. Lel Pesach is no mazikim. It's Lel Shimurim. So another question. Let's say you put the matzah underneath your bed and you go to sleep. Are you allowed to use that matzah for the Seder? No. Why? If you sleep on top of food, you it's a sakana. Okay, there are different heterim. There are a lot of heterim is manazeh. Basically, you go through all these halachas. Another example. This is a good example. This one is more we can relate to. Do you have salt on the table on the night of the Seder? Or even better, do you dip your matzah in salt? Ordinarily, every Friday night, most people, after you make the bracha mitzi lechem in aretz, what do? You slice a piece of challah and you dip it in salt three times. Is that what most people do? Or some people, they sprinkle. You have a salt shaker and you sprinkle. The truth is you don't really need to do it because there's already too much salt in the challah itself. Today, you buy a challah in the store, in any bakery, they've already added more salt than your doctor would be happy with. There's already salt, so you don't really need to add salt, but still this is tradition. Tradition is when you break bread, when you make a hamitzi, you take the challah, either you take the salt shaker and you sprinkle the salt on the bread, or as some do is you take the piece of bread and you dip it in salt three times, and then you eat it. When it comes to matzah, now why do you do that? So there are different reasons. One of the reasons why you do I'll call karbon chatak of melach. The Mishnah Berurah says, or the Gemara, the Chazal say is the reason you don't really have to dip it. It's not really necessary, especially in today's day and age, to dip it because it already has salt. It's for an entirely different reason. When everyone goes to wash for bread, you make kiddush. Okay, Rabbi Sai, everyone go wash. There's only one sink. So everyone has to get a line. And everyone has to wash, it takes time. Oh, my ring is stuck. Get me some WD-40.
Put the back of the line.
Okay, you gotta wait. It takes time, everyone has to wash. Everyone has to wash. So in the meantime, you come back from washing, you sit at the table, it's very awkward. You're just waiting, you're looking at each other. You're just looking at each other, you can't talk. You can say no. For some reason, the word new is that word, for some reason, is not called a hepsi. I don't know why. Okay? If you ask a toddler, you say, when you ask him, what is new, he will say it's bread. Now ask if you what I want new. What do you want? I want new. I want new. What do you want? New. What's new? He points. Chala. Why do toddlers call chala new? Because when you're sitting around the table, everyone is saying new. And then the father gives the little kid some bread. So in a child's mind, new is chala. Test this on your grandchild toddler. Test him. What is the definition of the word new? And you'll be shocked to learn that new means chal. Because in his mind, that's what it is. All right, so it's very awkward. You sit around the table, awkward. You look at each other, right? So in Shemayim, it's not a good thing because you do nothing. And then the Malachi Hashareis, they start, oh, look at these guys here. They're just idling. Let's give them a ticket. Idling, no idling. Illegal, will tow you away at your expense. So the Malachi Hashareis, they're idling. Let's tow these people away at their expense. So what do you do to get rid of the police? What do you do? I'll tell you what one of my friends did. I don't want to believe this. Near Yeshiva, the COVID police came. I told you the story. The COVID police came. The COVID came to give the Yeshiva $15,000 ticket.
Wow.
So this guy is nuts. He's out of his mind, this guy. He's mamish out of his mind. Crazy as can possibly be. He saw they were coming, so he basically said, oh, I don't feel well. I'm having a heart attack. And he faked, he collapsed on the street. Oh, they called out Salah. It's not a joke. This guy's nuts. They called out Salah. Hatzalah comes. He says to them, Ani margish tov me'od, aval yeshkan a COVID police. I'm creating a distraction to get rid of the COVID police. That's all. Clear the corridor. Everyone get out of the way. Get out of the way, everyone. They surf all the streets. We have to get this guy out of here. That's all. Went along with him. They would lose their license for this. That's all. Clear the corridor. You get out of here. We need room. We need over here room. And the COVID police went away. He saved the guy $15,000. He saved the yeshiva $15,000. When you give a donation to Hatzalah, you know, this is what you're giving. You're really giving it to yeshiva for saving. If they would lose their license for playing along with this. Okay, this guy's crazy. I mean, it's not a kasha. This guy, okay, this is what goes on. So when you come to the Pesach Seder, the Malachi Hashareis, they say these guys are loitering. They're not doing mitzvah. They're going they're not doing mitzvahs. They're sitting around doing nothing. So in order to get rid of these mekatergim, what do? You put on the table salt. It's poison for them. It's kryptonite. And they see the salt. It's bris krusa. Hashem made a covenant with salt. I don't know how this works. When you know how this works, let me know how this works. When they see the salt on the table, they run away. Do you do this Lel Pesach? Yes, you do. No one disagrees. There's a machlekes apoiskim if you dip the matzah in salt. It's a machlekes apoiskim. Some say you do not. Lechem oini. Nothing. Flour and water. Don't add salt. Don't not dip your... Rav Moshe did. Everyone records Rav Moshe finds that he dipped the matzah in salt. He did dip it in salt. But many do not. But everyone, Billy Yotzen and Aklal, agree that salt should be on the table. Because of this reason of the Mishnah Berurah, and it says in Chazal, is that there's a bris krusa, there's a covenant Hashem made with salt, and when it's there, it chases away all the bad guys. What do you need salt? It's Lel Shimurim. What do you need salt for? It's Lel Shimurim. Ki l'doy roi seichem. So I'm just basically trying to bring out over here, there are answers, there are different ways, is that there is a very wide spectrum of danger in this world. Let's try to categorize some of the dangers. There is, first of all, there's a principle called the Shchicha Hezeka Shain. We have a rule called Shomer Mitzvah Lo Yeda Davar Ra. So that means you can put your life in danger. If there's only 1% chance I'm going to survive, I'm going to do a mitzvah now. 99% of the people who go do what I'm about to do die. But 1% survive. I'm doing this l'shem shamayim. So does that mean Hashem's going to protect me? I'm going to be from the 1% from 90? A shaita. Shomer mitzvah lo yeda dover ra is when 99% of the people, nothing happens to them. So then, should I be worried about the 1%? No. But in a situation where the shchicha hezeka, it's very common that there is sakana, then you are required to be concerned for damage. So the question is, so therefore, this is part of the dilemma. When it's denied, that's one category. If it's very real, the danger, that's already different. There's another danger, now here's one of the differentiates, where there are mazikim. Now this is more of a spiritual concept. I have no idea how this works. And you follow people alive about it, but life is things good for them, I don't know how this works. When you deal in the spiritual of mazikim, there are two different types of mazikim. There are mazikim who have arrived. Shalom Aleichem. Welcome to our home. The mazik, the spiritual demon, is here. Will you please leave? Please leave. There's salt on the table. Kryptonite is here. Okay, I'm out of here. Then there are mazikim who are knocking on the door, who want to come. But as they come near, they say, you know, something's not right, let's go away. There are mazikim who would ordinarily be dispatched to come, but they're not here yet. And you want to do things in the world of Kabbalah and Halach, we do all these things, even though we don't know from this stuff, we're influenced by this, but we do all these things. You don't want them to come, so you do certain things to prevent them from arriving. Then there is another thing between, I'll give you terms, enemies, an oyev and a mazik. You know, this is a very interesting example. It is in halach. What bracha hashkidein? On a regular Friday night, on a regular night of the week, when you make the bracha of Hashkivein, Hashem Elokeinu L'Sholom, Hamdeinu Malkeinu L'Chayim, Tovim L'Sholom, Mefrosim, how do you conclude the bracha of Hashkivein? Baruch Atah Hashem, Shomer Amo Yisrael Lo'ad. You guard us, you protect us. On Yom Tov, on Shabbos, and Yom Tov, how do you conclude the bracha? You switch. I don't need Shemira. Friday night, you don't say Shomer Amo Yisrael Lo'ad. Hashem, I can take care of myself. I don't need you. Tonight's not a night to worry about. So instead, Ufroi Soleinu Sukash Shleimecha. V'sakineinu v'eitza tovim l'fanecha.
No, Ufroi Soleinu Sukash Shleimecha.
Baruch Atah Hashem, HaPoreis, Sukash Shalom Oleinu, V'al Kol Amo Yisrael, V'al Yerushalayim. You don't make any mention of Shemira. Isn't that a contradiction to what you just done, what you're going to do after you finish Ma'ariv, Friday night? Friday night after Ma'ariv, you say, Bracha me'ein sheva. Mogen avois, bidvaroi, mechayim meisim, bimamaroi, hokel akadosh, shein kamavu. Hamelich liyamoi, b'yom shabbas kachol. Isn't that what we do? Why do you do that? Because there are some latecomers who have come to the Beis HaKnesses, and are still davening Shemona Esrei, and we do not want them to walk home alone. We're afraid something bad will happen to them. So you know what we're going to do? We're going to stall. How are we going to stall? We're going to say this bracha of bracha me'in sheva. And by the way, this year, we don't say it. This year, the first Seder is Friday night, and you don't say Mogen Avos. In a lot of shuls, you know, they tumble. Don't forget, you don't say Magen Avos. It's Friday night. You don't say Magen Avos Friday night this year because it is Leil Shimurim. But let's put away.
They say Vayichul.
What?
They say Vayichul.
Yes, they say Vayichul, but you don't do. Why not? Because anyone who came late tonight, don't worry, you'll be okay. Go home alone. No one's going to harm you. You know why? It's Leil Shimurim. Leil Shimurim tonight. Really? If it's Leil Shimurim, now let's go to a regular Friday night when it's not Pesach. Do you say Me'in Sheva? Yes, you do. If why? Because you're worried about this fellow. You're worried he's going to be harmed. If you're so worried, why then don't we say the concluding bracha of Hashkiveinu like we say every night of the week? Baruch Ato Hashem Shomer Amo Yisrael Lo'ad. No, Shabbos we're protected. We don't need Shemira. We don't need Shemira Friday night. Contradiction. It's an unbelievable contradiction. On a regular Friday night, you change the nusach of the bracha to indicate that you don't need Shemira. And yet, when it comes to Hashkiveinu, Baruch Me'ein Sheva, all of a sudden you're worried. So you know the answer they were given, that this is totally shocking, and this really makes you wonder. I mean, on the night, it's mamish counterintuitive. You would say, Pro Vakert. But it says over here, who says this? Okay, who says this? Imkein Vitiritz, who's Vitiritz? Macha, the Prisha. The Prisha is famous for his wife. His wife had a lot of chidushim, and he quoted his wife, the Prisha. The Prisha, one of the early Achronim, he says, you know the answer is to this contradiction? There are two types of dangers. There's a danger from an enemy, an oyev, a human being, and there's a danger from a malach. It's counterintuitive. Leil Shabbos, we're not worried about people. We're not worried about murderers out there on the street. But you know what we're worried about? Mazikin, demons. So the brach of Hashkiveinu is a bracha to protect us from people, from terrorists, wicked people. Hashkiveinu Hashem Elokeinu L'Shalom. It's Shabbos. Shabbos, you don't have to worry that human beings are going to harm you. Shabbos has its own special shmirah. You don't have to worry about human beings. But on Shabbos, you have to worry about the malach, the angels, the spiritual dangers that are lurking out there in the world more than during the year. Because during the week, you're not engaged so much in such holy matters. So the mazikim, they're not going to bother with you. But on Shabbos, you are a spiritual being. A spiritual being attracts spiritual dangers. So when the fellow is walking home from shul, we're not worried someone's going to mug him. We're not worried about that. Don't worry about the Friday night. Shabbos, the aura of Shabbos will prevent a would-be ganav, a would-be villain from attacking a person, a Jew who's observing Shabbos. But when the fellow walks home in the dark on Friday night, the aura of the sanctity of Shabbos, we have to worry about demons, spiritual forces attacking him. So therefore, when it comes Friday night, you change the nusach of Hashkiveinu from Shomei Amo Yisrael Lo'atu Ufroi Soleinu Sukkah Shlomecha Baruch Atu Hashem HaParei Sukkah Shomolin V'Akol Yisrael V'Yal Yushalayim. But when it comes to walking home at night, we don't want him to walk home at night because of the spiritual danger. This year is Pesach. And Chazal say, oh, it's Pesach. The night of Pesach, you don't have to worry about the spiritual mazikin coming to get you. So you don't have to say, Brocha Me'ein Sholosh. And being that it's Shabbos, you don't have to worry about human beings coming to get you either. But now here's the big question. Let's say it wasn't Shabbos. Let's say, for argument's sake, it was a regular Pesach of most years, and Pesach is Monday night, Tuesday night, whenever it can fall out, during the weekday. So there's certainly, it's Leil Shimurim. We know if, as a fact, from the fact that we don't say Brocha Me'ein Sholosh, after we made this distinction between Hashkivenu and Bracha Me'in Shalosh, we know as a fact that Pesach knocks out the Bracha Me'in Shalosh, which means it's knocking out the spiritual danger. Because of why? It's Pesach. So let's say it was a regular year where it's not Shabbos. We're gonna knock out the spiritual danger. Does a regular Pesach also knock out the physical danger of our enemies? Well, you'll say to me, well, Pesach, you also don't say Shomer Amo Yisrael Lot. On Pesach, you also say Ufrois Leinu Sukkah Shlomecha. Right? You also change it. You also change the Nusach. Lel Pesach, when you daven Ma'ariv, do you say the regular Hashkivenu?
No.
You also say Ufrois Leinu Sukkah Shlomecha, Apreis Sukkah Shlomecha, Kol Meishav Yad Shlaim. So you'll say, listen, so it's really no worse. See, that's the difference. Not necessarily. The change in Hashkivenu was primarily made for Shabbos. It wasn't primarily made for Yom Tov. We are going to say on Yom Tov the same Nusach because it's not nice. It's not proper to say something on Yom Tov that's equivalent to what you say during the weekend less than Shabbos. But that's not why it was changed. The change is primarily made for Shabbos. Shabbos offers a very unique Shemira that Yom Tov does not necessarily offer. And therefore, when it comes to Lil Pesach, there's what to worry about. There's what to worry about. What the type of Shemira that has been removed from Pesach is very limited. I know I'm talking in circles, but at least I'm trying to bring out, you have to really put this together in a way that I don't know. And there's one key point I want to tell you in a moment, which makes a world of a difference, the finale of this whole thing. But that is, we've gone through many, many examples, contradictions in the Shemira of the night of Pesach. On the one hand, Lel Shimurim, don't lock the doors. Don't recite Kriya Shema Al Hamita in the full form. That's what it says in the books. Don't do. We know historically the greatest miracles happened to the Jewish people on Lel Pesach. Mitzad Sheni, historically we've suffered from blood libels throughout history. We have put salt on the table to protect us from the mazikin. All the basic halacha supply, pretty much. Don't have unpeeled eggs. Don't, this is the din of Mayim Shalanu. There are more things I'm leaving, I'm forgetting here. There are more things, there are other dangers that we take very, well, we speak in Lashon Aramis, we spoke with the Haggadah begins and ends in Aramaic. There's a contradiction. There's a major contradiction. Shreich HaMoscha, go outside and see what's going on in the street. Make sure no one's trying to kill you. Stay up the whole night. Be on guard. Someone might be coming to kill you tonight. There are major contradictions in the Shemira of what's going on tonight. What exactly is going on? A very good place to start is Lel Shabbos. Lel Shabbos also provides Shemira. And the ultimate proof is on Lel Shabbos, we change the Nusach of Hashkivenu to Baruch from Shomer Amo Yisrael, you guard us. Shmira, we don't need Shmira. To Ufroi Soleil and Sukash Lomech, we change the Nusach. But yet, Friday night, we contradict ourselves and we say Bracha Me'ein Sheva. But yet, Pesach, we don't say Me'ein Sheva. There's a lot going on here. What is going on over here? And obviously, the answer lies in appreciating there are different types of dangers and different types of activities that we do to ward off danger. There's a physical harm, moral. Okay, that was the ultimate. If it's such a lel shimurim, why do you need chayroises? What are you worried about? The poison? There is no poison. There's an imaginary poison. Hashem will take a shomer pisoyim Hashem. Since when is the average fellow worried about eating lettuce? Go into the store. Oh, I don't think you should have lettuce. I think you have to dip it first in chayroises. to get rid of the poison. You never saw someone do this the whole year. All of a sudden, Pesach was so worried about poison. It's Lel Shimurim. It's Lel Shimurim. No. Safety first. Right? Contradictions. So obviously, there are different types of dangers. There's a physical harm. Health danger. Health. Your health. Ingestion. You bring into your body poisons. Chazal are instituting for the whole Klal Yisrael. Everyone must eat lettuce. For the whole Klal Yisrael, a physical ingestion of poison, we cannot be responsible for that. Okay? There's a danger of people out there walking in the street, lunatics. People who are crazy, people walking in the streets, and they come and harm you. That's a different type of danger. Then there are these type of dangers which are supernatural. We have no understanding how these things work. Mazikim. This mazik, when you go to sleep, there's a mazik. There's a mazik who comes to your home. It's a makashik while you idle. When you leave over mayim shalon, when a dead body is in presence, so there's another type of danger. These are esoteric things which I have no idea what they are, how they work, but these are also forms of danger. Now, the finale is something that is really, really shocking. Got to read you this. And this is what it says here, an entirely different interpretation. I'll end with this. Now, by the way, who died the night of Pesach? Avraham Avinu. Why wasn't there Shmirah? Why wasn't the Malach protecting him? All the days to die, you got to go die in Pesach.
It was before Lel Shimur.
It is Lel Shimur Derasechen. How could it be? Avraham Avinu, he died. He was the miracle. The miracle, the miracle of the four kings and the five kings. The World War Zero. World War Zero took place on night of Pesach, and he survived. So where was the Shemira for Avraham Avinu, the night of Pesach, not to die? Yaakov Avinu, he went to sleep. In Basel, when? On Lil Pesach. And he says, and what did he do? He made a marzef. He took stones, put it around his head to protect him. Why did Yaakov Avinu need to go collect 12 stones and create a shelter from the mazikim? It was Lil Pesach. What's going on? So let me read what it says over here. The Perish Rashi on this pasuk calls of Alpiyah Gemara b'Misach B'Sachim Shalayla Zeh Shomer Hu Min HaMazikim. Omnom, however, I'm reading from Rabbi Zichrman in his wonderful sefer called Ploy Sater and Shemais in Parashas Boy. Omnom Motzim B'Medrash Tanchuma and Uve Mechilta. Whenever you see the word Mechilta, you shake, because the Mechilta is the real deal. The Mechilta is where the Gemara comes from. Everything in the Gemara comes from the Mechilta, the Sifra, or the Sifrei. So when it says Mechilta, yeah, that's it. There's no escape. There's no escape. This is not a Hasidish Gvart from the 21st century. This is it. This is where all the action is. In the Mechilta it says, Perish, this is his favorite word, Hafle Vafela. What else would I have Zichron say if not for that? Hafle Vafela, something wondrous. Alel Shimon, the Isasham, the Mechilta. You don't budge without the Mechilta. Shimurim l'chol b'nei Yisrael l'doi roysam, magid, shekol Yisrael tzrichin l'hishta merbo. It's the most dangerous night of the year. Everyone should hire armed guards to be with them at their Seder. The Mechilta says, mamish pumfakert, of what they teach you in kindergarten. Misinformation with a capital M. They've all taught us in kindergarten, don't lock the door. Come on, it's Lel Shimurim. Do whatever you want. Nothing's going to happen to you tonight. This is the Mechilta. This is the Makar of all of Talmud Bavli. Magid, Shekol Yisrael Tzirichim Lishtamer Boy. And now there's a parish, an old parish on the Mechilta. It's called the Merkeves HaMishnah. Ubeir b'Merkeves HaMishnah ala Mechilta. It's an old parish. Let me make sure you understand what he just said here. Kol Yisrael tzrichim lehishtamer bo. Hoyil uve oisa halayla nemar v'atem. He backs it up. It says in the Torah, v'atem you, Klal Yisrael, al teitzu ish mipesach besoy. The mashchis went out to kill all the firstborns, Lel Pesach. The mashkes goes out every year, Lel Pesach.
What?
No. Lel Pesach. Vahi b'chatzoy salayla. Yudala, the night when we're eating, that's chatzoy salayla, when we're eating, the night when we eat the Okay, the night of Lel Pesach. The night of Lel Pesach. V'atem al teitzu ish mi Pesach beisoy. That is every year. When Hashem said to Klal Yisrael, al teit ish, al teitzu, there's a mashchis, watch out. It's a dangerous night. Protect yourself. Engage in shmira. More than any other time. Hukva sakono zoy lidoyrois. It's unbelievable what it says. Completely the opposite. Lel shimurim hu l'doy roysam. Every year it's a dangerous night. Be very, very careful. So how do we reconcile this? So Rashi quotes from the Gemara that says, Shalayla zeh shomor adarabo. Adarabo. Shomor layla zeh shomor hu min hamazikin. What does the word mazikin mean? So some will tell me it means from the demons. It doesn't. It means from. I mean, you can say what you want to go say. You know, you have to reconcile. You have to reconcile this contradiction between what Chazal are saying that it's shamor with the mechilta, which is the ultimate Chazal that says pumfaker. So to some degree, obviously, it answers all of our questions. Maybe on a regular year, you don't have to worry about poison and lettuce. You want to have a salad today? You want to eat lettuce? Because on the day, what, there's some bacteria, there's some poison? What, you're not going to walk in the street because you're afraid that one in a million chance, who knows what will happen to you, you'll be struck by lightning? There's a limit to how much you have to protect yourself. But the night of Pesach, take no chances. Take no chances, night of Pesach. But on the other hand, look at all the miracles that happened to Klal Yisrael throughout history. Look at all the incredible. Yetzias Mitzrayim. What more do you want than that? That's what life is all about. Balance. Ish al yetzu ish mi pesach beisay ad boiker. Don't. So one of the farshim says something very interesting. He says, as long as you're engaged in doing Torah or mitzvahs, that's when you get the shmira. If you sit around idly the night of Pesach and do nothing, then you're in a lot of trouble. That's when the sakana is as great as ever. You have to make some type of a.
Well, that's what it means. Shluchei mitzvah and it is up if you don't interrupt.
So you have to find some type of reconciliation between these two. But it's an incredible eye-opening mechilta that says it's the most dangerous night of the year and watch out. And that explains why throughout Jewish history, the night of Pesach has been for us a double-edged sword. It's been the night of blood libels and the amount of sorrows that have come to Klal Yisrael cannot even be described in words because of the pogroms and the blood libels that have, a lot of the pogroms were originated in the blood libels that were all targeted Lel Pesach, for Lel Pesach. Mitzad Sheni, the greatest miracles the Klal Yisrael enjoyed took place on Lel Pesach. So, the night of the Seder, we contradict ourselves in multiple ways. We have Charoises because of Sakana. We open up the Shvei Chamasa because of Sakana. Mitzad Sheni, yeah, leave the door open. Leave it open. And Mitzad Sheni, don't say Kriya Shema Lamita. Excuse me, what is it? Is it Shamor or is it not Shamor? It's both. It's both. It's complicated. Just like everything else about the Seder. Mitzad Echad, Matzah is Cherus. Mitzad Sheni, Ho Lach Ma'anya, poverty. Yayin is Cherus. Mitzad Echad, but you don't pull your own cup. Someone fills it for you. When someone fills your cup, that's Avelos. Tnu Yayin. Tnu.
Is that Malchus also?
No, when someone fills your cup, that's how you fill your own cup. The Reish Rav is famous for the Achakin Yishte Hanozer Yayin. When it's malchus, you pour your own cup. When someone pours it for you, that's tnu yayin shechar le'oved umori nefesh. A person that's bitter, the pasuk says, give him yayin. A Nazir takes his own yayin. You're not supposed to fill your own cup. You know why? We're in mourning. We're in mourning. We eat an egg. You're wearing white garments, dead man's clothing. Yet you're drinking four cups of wine, you're celebrating. Chayrus, behaseba. What is this? Are you happy or are you sad? Why are you wearing dead man's clothing? Why is someone pouring it for you? You should pour it yourself. Why are you behaseba? Is the matzah poor man's bread? Or is it geula? Achehigle aleya melech malcham lachem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every single thing in the Seder is a contradiction, including Lel Shimurim. It's the safest night of the year, and it's the most dangerous night of the year. And history can prove that to you. History spells it out. It was the most magnificent night for the Jewish people, and it was the worst night for the Jewish people. That's the night of the Seder. It's the balance. It's the whole picture which really challenges the mind to take it all in and to reconcile the contradictions, to understand how all of these things come together in all these different ways. And every person is able to process this information differently on their level and their understanding. Okay, that's our little shiur.